to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Abu Mass.
I feel cranky. I can't decide if I'm cranky, like old lady cranky or toddler cranky.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little both.
I think it's a little bit of both for me. Like, I want it to be tucked into bed, and I also sort of want somebody, you know, to make me a snack and serve it on a plate.
Right. Yeah. Play with my hair.
Please, just give me a little bit of love, just a tiny bit of acknowledgement. You think that's because of Mercury? What do you think is going on there?
Well, we're still in 7 retrogrades. I mean, that's still a lot. And I think that everybody is sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
I know I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the not knowing will wear you down. But the first one to come out and go direct is Mercury. That's in 5 days. So as Mercury is going to start slowing before it goes direct, it's going to feel more potent in its retrograde. And Mercury retrograde in Leo, I feel like, is having us question whether or not we should have any confidence about anything. Mm. Are you a winner? And you're like, not really.
I don't know. I don't like think so. This present moment when you're asking that, no, I don't feel like that at all.
This is when you start going, I think I like the idea where everyone gets a trophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that piece, though, too, that you're just speaking about, like, of being just worn down feels so true of, like, that sort of, like, we've just been sludging away. And, you know, we talked about this after the second eclipse of, like, you're still in the waters and you still don't know where you're going. And it's like you've just been treading water for days and days and days. And it's like, okay, really? Like, I'm exhausted. Can this stop now? Like, is there any sort of like land in sight? Because I don't know if I'm even strong enough to make it. I don't know that like I'm worthy of making it. So, you know.
And what if we're paddling in circles and we just can't tell?
Right.
Like we're not just getting anywhere. Around.
No. Yeah. It's like that a lot.
It does.
So why I'm like, bring me my flaky.
So this, but there's a point to this, right?
Right. Like, yeah.
We have to get to where we can talk to ourselves and go, no, you're good. You're good. You're not going down. You're going up. You don't suck. You don't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's like the leaning in piece, right? Like that's where we all get to learn how to self-comfort and self-soothe. And how to be present and aware and an allowance of everything that is coming up for us. My son had a play date yesterday and we were talking about emotional intelligence. And Daniel Quinn's work really like revolutionized this realm of emotional intelligence. And for now, anybody that has children in school, like this is a big theme that you'll hear about in education of like, oh, our children need to have emotional intelligence. And how vastly different that is than the way that you and I were raised, where like there was never this conscious conversation of like, okay, you are experiencing anger. What does that feel like in your body? How do you express that? What's a different way that you could express that? Do you feel a sensation that you're holding it in your hands? Is it hot? Is it cold? Where does it localize within you? Like our children, thankfully, in a lot of cases, are being taught to be aware of those things. But we are from a generation where we were not taught to be aware of those things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a lot of the issue and the challenge for us as adults is to how do we self-soothe when we didn't all learn the capabilities of being like, oh, that feels like fear. And within fear, there's also excitement. And I feel that really heavily in my heart. And then I react to it from there.
Yeah, and I think that we were kind of taught that some emotions are bad.
Mm-hmm.
That anger is bad, or that if you feel negative thoughts, that's bad. Instead of just sitting with it and go, why are you here?
Right.
Anger, why are you here? Why are you here right now? What do you have to say? Or even just feeling milder things like being cranky or grumpy or insecure or whatever.
Right.
Maybe that's okay. Maybe you can go, yeah, of course you feel that way. You're tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then go, yeah, I'm tired. Of course I'm cranky. It's mm-hmm. all right. It's all right. It doesn't mean that you're failing somehow or you're wrong
mm-hmm.
or you're not good enough or that you're off track even. I'm just tired.
Yeah, and there comes like the true trap of the stories that we tell ourselves of like how quickly we want to judge emotions and awarenesses that we have. Of, oh, I'm just cranky because I'm tired. I'm worn out by how hard of work this is to just exist in the world right now. Just to exist, not even to like do work with other people, just to actually be present in my body. It's hard work. And then you want to go into the judgment of like, oh, well, who are you to be cranky? Oh, you're always cranky. This is your personality. Oh, something's always got to be wrong. Like this is like the same thing that episode that is airing right now as we speak, that is about the stories that we tell ourselves and marrying the shadow into the light and the ways in which that we can be really harsh judgment of ourselves for any experience that we're having. There's a lot more allowance of like, oh, I'm in love and I'm excited. But on the flip side of, I'm feeling kind of lonely and I'm kind of scared. Mm-hmm. And just to be in appreciation of that as a teaching.
Right. And then, so what do you, how do you kind of train your mind right now? So Mercury is how our mind works. It's mm-hmm. in Leo. The sun is in Leo now too. And Leo is ruled by the sun. The sun is its own source of fuel. It burns itself and then it radiates outward and it provides light and it makes things able to live and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to be near it for
right.
warmth.
Right.
But it burns from the inside. It burns itself. So during these times, whenever we're questioning our value or our worth or how good of a job we're doing, it's, I think, learning to go, you're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, I don't know if I am. Go, yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are. You're doing great. Keep going. You're fine. Talking to ourselves well, loving ourselves, even in the spots where we don't feel exalted. We yeah. just don't. We don't feel that right now. Okay, you're still awesome right where you are.
Right.
Right in that spot of not knowing. You're still doing great.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's important to pay attention to. So it's like, then you, for me, especially around wellness, you have to take it back to the places of like the ways that you are showing up for yourself. Of, I just brewed myself a cup of tea. Like that's, and I'm holding a hot mug. Like that's a way that I'm honoring myself. I'm sitting with you and having a really meaningful conversation. Thank you for showing up in that manner. Like, thank you for showing up and I'm thanking myself also of like, thank you for being willing to not go into the shutdown of like, oh, I need to isolate. I've got to do it all on my own. Like screw every, like letting anybody else in, you know, like from the wellness and then like taking a walk, getting up and just like moving your body and stretching as you get out of bed, just to feel how it feels to be in your body again. I think that's how I've learned to train my mind to think myself when I don't feel that awesome. And like we talked about in the last podcast of like talking to ourselves as if we were our own best friends. Like, right. you know, your best friend would be like, good job. You got up out of bed today. Hooray.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're doing awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have to slow down to do that. That's yes. part of the seven retrogrades that we're in still mm-hmm. is slow down. Slow down. When you don't know, slow down. Like I've gotten during these retrogrades, I've gotten to the point where I've slowed way down. Like this is my arm.
Mm-hmm.
This is my leg. I'm sitting on a bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here. It's okay. And because we can panic a little and go, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, because I think that's where the unraveling of the paradigm really comes in, right? Of like, I was just journaling about this last night, about how much we are a society of go, 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 and we always have to do more. And so then when we are being offered a learning example through these retrogrades of going very slow, being very conscientious of like, right now I'm putting my right foot down. There's my left foot. Now I'm sitting on my bed. When we are, we have to focus on just being that in presence while we have also been very deeply entrained of like, we have to go to prove our worth. It can feel very like isolating, but also like panic button has just set in of like, oh, I'm not achieving anything and I'm not going to be worthy of anything. And like all of those fear storylines can come up full fledged because we have not learned the skill set very well in a lot of ways of just being slow and present and in allowance of that, okay with it because it's serving a purpose.
Yeah. And the purpose is preparing yourself for the next rush that comes in, right? Like all these planets are going to go direct and then it's go time. Mm-hmm. So to be ready for that, you need this time to be still and evaluate things like, who am I? Mm-hmm. Am I okay? And what do I need? Mm-hmm. So when things aren't going, it's because it's saying, stop right where you are. Not yet. Are you okay? And then you kind of go, no, I'm not okay. And that's when you go, all right, what do I need? Mm-hmm. What do I need? I need more sleep, or I need more information for sure. I need to talk. I need to cry. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out why I'm so angry because I'm probably scared. Things right. like that. What is going on? Because we can't handle going direct forward all the time without right. ever pausing to evaluate and process. As humans, we can't handle that.
No. It feels like a forced hibernation and a forced recalibration. And I feel like when I look at it from the place of like, we are in this spot to recalibrate, then I can give myself a lot more spaciousness of like, oh, I'm just recalibrating right now. It's the same thing as if I was dealing with like a flu or a cold. Like, this is my body's way of telling me to sit down because I need to recalibrate my system, like mentally, physically, and spiritually. Like, this is what's happening. A lot of times when we get sick, it's to put ourselves down because we're going too hard. Mm-hmm. And now it's just happening under the guise of seven retrogrades of like, no, you're doing a real spiritual and conscientious recalibration.
Right. Because I mean, and when we don't know, when we're being forced to stop and we can't see all the pieces and we don't know what's coming, but we can tell that something's coming, you can fall into the default of something bad is coming. Mm-hmm. That's not true. That's not true. Even if in your chart, it's clear that you're about to have an influx of money, right? It's not here yet, but it's coming. You need time to prepare for that.
Right.
Learn what is valuable to you. Learn what is important in your life. Learn how to gauge your humanness no matter what kind of resources you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Because you're the consistent part of that. For example, something really good coming in, you need calibration for that too.
Right.
It's not just, we don't stop just because we're behind or we're wounded or we're upset or we're about to have a loss. It's gains too. Mm-hmm. It's going up. Needs you to pause for a second. You ready? Did you tie your shoes? You got your backpack? You ready? We're about to go up. You good? Mm-hmm. You need some water? And go, all right, now I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really helps to shift things in perspective because it's almost like, I keep getting the image of us, of like the collective consciousness backpacking like Mount Everest, you know, and like anybody that's done any type of backpacking trips, like you'll go up, you know, 200,000 foot gain, because where I'm currently at is in the mountains of North Carolina. So like when you climb and you backpack, you're carrying like 50 pounds of weight on your back, right? So you're exhausted very easily. But when you come up on 1,000 foot gain and then you stop and you sit down and you grab a snack and you get your water and you do retie your shoes and you sit there and you take in like a waterfall or you watch a butterfly go by or you just watch the trees dance. And then you collect yourself and you're like, okay, pack's back on. Here we go. because you can't charge forward with it. Like you can sprint up a hill and do 10 miles running and your body is going to kill. Like you're going to physically be in pain and mentally be exhausted for days to come afterwards.
Right. And you have to respect that. I mean, your body's going to go, nope, yep. Bad idea.
Not going to do that. Why did you do that to me? That's horrible. And I think it's a little bit harder when it's coming from a spiritual perspective and a conscious perspective, because like your body immediately is giving you those markers of like physical pain, right? And physical pain is easy to tap into of like, oh, something's wrong. Something's going on here that I need to say stop. But when it is more in that spiritual and conscious realm, I feel in emotional realm, when we haven't all like sharpened the skills and the tools and we're still learning our tools, it's harder to like honor the fact that we do get to go slower and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been evaluating that feeling of feeling lost, mm-hmm. like I'm lost. And instead of like, sometimes I can think if I feel lost, it's because I'm in self-doubt or I'm not listening. I'm not paying enough attention, but I've been considering lately if that feeling of being lost right now where we are is maybe the energy saying you're not lost. Just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. You're not getting information on go because it's not time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then going, okay. All right. All right.
It's a real ego check. You know, to be like, you're not getting the information that you need right now for a reason. So therefore, the only thing that we are asking of you is that you're just really present in your day. That you're really honoring where you're at emotionally and mentally, spiritually, socially, physically. Like, we're just asking that's what you honor moment by moment, because you will get the information you need when you need it. And man, is that an ego check of like, but I need the information now. What, you want me to be present? Like, excuse me? Like, no, I need to move forward now, because in my little humanistic brain, I'm like, oh, but I have the answers. I know the bigger picture, you know?
And so carry that all the way through. That means that you have to recognize that something bigger than you is running the show here.
Yes.
Yeah. And you want it to. Yeah. When we try to force our small little stories, it doesn't turn out great.
No.
I have the feeling often that thing that's bigger than us, I call it the greater force of life often, it's orchestrating something that we can't see all the parts and we can't see as far as it can. Right. And so whenever we try to force a narrative because it gives us control, I have a feeling that energy is looking at us going, well, okay. I mean, I have something better in the works, but whatever, we can do your deal.
Right.
Try. And then meanwhile, we're like, mine was a shitty idea. Never.
Yeah. That blew up in my face. Well, maybe shouldn't have forced things in the first place. But you know, like that's a question though. How do you know when you are forcing things? And how do you know when you are in actually like allowance and you're in presence and things are unfolding the way like the greater power is determined that they should?
First of all, guidance doesn't yell. Mm-hmm. So if you get something screaming, like, fuck no, I'm not doing that. Whoa, hang on. You all right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like guidance will go, and now we're going this way. It comes with ease. It comes with grace. It comes with inspiration. It comes with a long-term aim or vision. You know you're in flow when it comes with ease. Just all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're doing this now. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just keep going. But forcing things takes force. You'll feel it. You'll have tension in your body. You'll have a knot in your stomach. You'll be arguing with facts. Like an easy example that Lord knows I've been in, but often I hear this from clients when people go, when people show you who they are and you don't believe them, Mm-hmm. When they go, I don't love you nor really like you that much. And they're like, well, we can work it out. No, we can't. No, we can't.
Right.
Trying to force something. Like when something is saying, this, you don't feel good here, do you? And you go, well, I can just endure it. We'll be fine. I'll just mm-hmm. endure it. No. Pain is a sign that something's wrong. Stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. You're hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think too that there is, I mean, this is coming up for me right now, of that I've been making some choices in flow and then getting awarenesses from them after, like, they have been created. And I think the lesson that I'm learning is that, and we've talked about this maybe two or three episodes again, that even when you are in allowance and you are getting guidance and you are trusting it and you are acting from it, you still are provided the ability to pivot at any moment, and that a lot of the awarenesses cannot come through until you actually are in allowance of whatever you're guided towards. It's like, I've been guided towards, like, okay, I'm going to make these like career changes, and then I do everything around it. Like, I pack up everything to get it set in place. And then now I've had these awarenesses of like, oh, well, really, you just needed to pack up things in order to gain a bigger awareness of where you truly wanted to go. But without packing that stuff, I would never have been able to see, like, that's actually, you need to pivot in this direction.
Yeah. And so, and there's control again, right? When you, right. when you feel guided to do something, like, we're going to leave this city.
Right.
And you leave the city and you get to the next city and you're like, I don't think this is the right city yet.
Mm-mm.
You have to let go of where the guidance is taking you.
Mm-hmm.
You're still trying to control it. If
yep.
if you feel like, you know, like, I go to relationships.
Right.
You get into a relationship with someone and you think you know where it's going, but really it was just the process of being with them so you can learn about yourself. But and now it's going to go another direction.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot control these things.
Right.
You can't.
Yeah.
That's hard. I mean, that's very exposing. It puts you in a really vulnerable spot of, I don't know what's going to happen in 10 minutes.
No.
Don't know.
No, and I think this is part of the collapse that's happening, is like, you know, we've all been entrained of like, well, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 15-year plan? What, where are you going to go? And like, to be in that place of like, I don't know what my 5-minute plan is.
Right.
Like, legitimately, I don't know. At the end of the day, I could be in a completely different place than I am right now in this second. And that's okay. Next week, completely different. Like, every 10 seconds, it can be possibly different. So that's as far as I've got. Like, I don't have next week. I don't have 6 months from now. I don't have a year from now. And it is extremely challenging, because there is like that underlying storyline of like, if you don't know what's going to happen, you don't got your shit together. You know, like that. And that's the storyline that plays out in my brain of completely of like, oh, you're not in control of your life. What's that say about you?
Right. So you have to, first you have to be on your own side.
Right.
You're like, I have my own back.
I'm good.
No matter what happens, I'm
right.
good.
Right.
And then I think that often I lean into, how do you want to feel?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to feel accomplished, if you want to feel like you are participating in wellness for people, if you want to feel like you're an influence in the world, hang on to those things and let the details of how that's going to play out arrive on their own. For example, when I was 20, so that was 25 years ago, and you asked me, what are you going to do with your life? I never would have said that I'm going to read astrology charts on the internet,
mm-hmm.
because there was no internet.
Right.
I could not have planned this out.
Right.
I never planned. I still don't know how I ended up here, but I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good at it, but I didn't go seek it out. It sought right. me out. That's a really important lesson that I've learned about purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose of your life is, the purpose of your life comes to find you.
Yes.
It chooses you. All of a sudden you look up and go, okay, right. All right, let's do it.
Yeah. And I think there's something there that's about holding on to those moments, whether they are just fleeting moments or whether it's all like fabricated in your mind of like, oh, maybe when you were 20, you had an astrology reading that you're like, oh, this was really cool. I sort of like the energy around it. Like, and, or, hey, I'm really fascinated with Neptune in the solar system, right? Like, and there's like this piece of you that's like, there's something there that's I find kind of exciting. And to revisit that, whether it's like conversations with other people or being out in nature or the way you feel after you go on a juice cleanse, like whatever it may be, with those moments where you're like, hey, this, there's something of worth here for me. Like there's something of excitement here for me. And I may not know how I'm going to ever get that or if I'm going to be anything in relevance to this, what my purpose is around it. But I would sure as hell like to have more of that. And what would it take to have more of that?
Mm-hmm. Follow down that trail. Mm-hmm. And again, we're in Leo season. That's about finding your joy. Mm-hmm. The North Node has been in Leo for about a year, over a year. It's going to switch into Cancer in November. So almost a year and a half. And the intent of the North Node in Leo has been to have you reach for the fact that your happiness is important, that you must find your joy. It's important. It's a priority. And in the last almost year and a half that I've been talking to people about the North Node in Leo, you'd be surprised by how many people, when I say your happiness is important, you must follow your joy, they go, Susan, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Because happiness and joy is not mania.
Right.
It's not obsession. It's not extreme. It's what resonates. It's what makes you happy to be here. It makes you glad to be alive. Mm-hmm. It's not things like, you know, running around hyper in love with everything that's happening all the time. It's just being in love with breathing. Mm-hmm. It's whenever you find something that resonates with you. Resonates meaning it feels like it's in your bones.
Mm-hmm. It's your truth.
To follow that and go, yeah, that, more of that. Don't know what it means, but more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's your truth.
Mm-hmm. It's your truth of who you truly be. And I think that's hard for a lot of people, especially if you look at, you know, programming and childhood expectations. You know, like I was definitely raised with that mentality of like, oh, well, you're a little girl, so you have to act this way and you have to be like this. And like we've been taught and conditioned from a very young age in this lifetime and many lifetimes of how we are supposed to behave, what we were supposed to achieve, how we were supposed to be in the world. And to have the conversation of like, yeah, but what is your truth? What does bring you joy? What is your happiness? And to have the answers of like, oh, well, my happiness is, you know, having so much money in the bank account, or my happiness is having this house. Like, no, I don't mean that. I mean deeper than that. And that's very hard to get at, I think, for a lot of people, because we haven't been in a culture where we've been exposed to that. The examples that I personally have of people being so deeply in their truth and able to say, my joy is this. My happiness is this. I am worthy because I can see that and I will hold it, and I may not have it all the time, but I will continuously walk closer to it, are very limited.
Right. I mean, I don't know about you, but whenever I was coming out of high school, I mean, when you're still in high school, people are like, what college are you going to go to?
Right.
And you are expected to go straight to college. And I did, but I quit because mm-hmm. I'm like, why am I here? I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm interested in. I feel like I'm just doing this because somebody told me to. And I had to take a few years off before I had some real world experience to know who I was enough to go to college for a reason. Mm-hmm. Because I ended up going back for psychology because I wanted to be part of helping people to come out of family trauma.
Mm-hmm.
childhood trauma, that kind of stuff. But I didn't know that about myself when I first went in. It's like that. It's being expected to decide what you're going to be when you grow up when you're 10.
Right.
How could you possibly? How could you possibly?
Yeah, especially when we're just not set up for it. I think John Lennon, when he was once asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, I just want to be happy. Mm-hmm. Happy. And I can just imagine like how baffling that would have been for the adults in his life of like, happy. I know, I mean, we're talking about like a career, like what are you going to do? You know, and like, and then to become who we all know today, like, you know, but like to be in that place of innocence of like, no, I just want to be happy. And if you look at that, like happiness from a child's perspective is so momentary. They live moment by moment by moment. It is like, oh, now we're playing with Legos. Now we're going outside. Now we're in the pool. Now we're doing this adventure. And it's a momentary experience rather than having to have it wrapped up in like, okay, well, happiness to me looks like the 401k 5 years from now, or the retirement plan, or the house. You know, like we have just been, we've conditioned ourselves to be like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, this is what it will look like, without allowing ourselves to just be in that momentary presence.
And he did end up being exactly that.
Right.
He grew up to become someone who sang songs about love.
Right.
He did. He grew up and did exactly that.
Right.
It can be that. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. That's one thing about the spot we're in with the energies that we have now, is the whole world is changing rapidly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're heading in the direction of change that is going to be beyond what we've seen. It's going to be beyond the internet. It's mm-hmm. going to be, it just, we can't see it yet because it's that big. And so trying to plan what your life is going to look like, given you don't even know what the world is going to look like, be okay with that. Mm-hmm. That's what this eclipse window is teaching us, that you can be okay in the not knowing. Mm-hmm. You're adaptable. If you can hold on to what resonates in your heart and be on your own side, think well of yourself, then you can adjust to anything that's going to happen in the world. Anything.
Right. Yeah, I think that's why, like, when we first started these, we were talking about self-care, and like, I really feel like this is what the eclipses and the retrogrades have been building into, of like, how do you take such good and sacred care of yourself that you have your own back? No matter what, you've got your own back. Even when you're cranky, even when you're weepy, even when you want to lay in bed because you're just worn out, how do you stay there for yourself, like your own beloved, and not leave your own side?
Like your own beloved, self-love. Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing that people don't quite have a strong concept of. What does it mean to be in self-love? Mm-hmm. My experience with it is, in the slowing down of just being with myself and talking to myself as if I'm in love with myself. Like, mm-hmm. what are we having for dinner? I'm mm-hmm. like, I don't know.
I know. This makes kind of exciting though, right?
Yeah. Being with yourself as if you think you're amazing, because you are.
Right.
Like, you worked really hard today. Let's go take a nap. Okay. Yeah.
Let's do that for sure.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I think we, and even I like that the mentality, because like I'm not gonna. It would be really naive of me to be like, oh, that's an easy thing for people to grasp a hold of, because the reality is we have all grown up in a situation, more than others, of self-hatred and self-bashing.
Right.
And it does not come easy. It's not like all of a sudden you flip the switch and you're like, oh, and now I love myself. And now I'm in like this joyful relationship with me. I don't discount that. Like, that it requires work, especially when we're coming from trauma situations and abuse situations. So the mentality of almost like fake it till you make it rings really true for me in this manner of like, if you've never learned how to love yourself, But you have been in relationship with other people, or you've seen relationship, or hell, you've watched a Hollywood movie about, you know, their perception of what love is and how to be like truly courted. You can figure out how to do that for yourself. You can make yourself a really, you know, strong cup of tea and be like, here, lover, here you go. You got, you deserve this one. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, here's that piece of dark chocolate for yourself. Or, you know what? You deserve it. You kick your feet up. You've had a hard day. You were on your feet all day long. Kick your feet up. Soak them in some hot water. Mm-hmm. Just like a lover would do for you, or you would want a lover to do for you. You can fake that and replicate a movie if you need to, in order to learn how to do that for yourself if you've never approached self-love before.
Yeah, and I would take it further. Why would you do that? Right. Why would you learn how to love yourself? And for me, I do it out of rebellion, because there is an active like mechanism of control that wants you to hate yourself.
Oh yeah.
That wants you to stay small so that you can stay dependent and under control of something that has power over you. That notion, first of all, it's crumbling. Good. Let it.
Yeah.
When something is trying to make me stay small, I get very fuck you about it.
Yeah. That's a bye Felicia moment for me. Like, keep on moving.
That's right. Yep. And so, if it feels, quote, selfish for you to love yourself a whole bunch, maybe think about the concept that somebody wants you to stay small.
Mm-hmm.
And go, wait a second. No.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. I'm not doing that. That's all it takes for you to flip it. Even trauma.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of trauma in my life. And I've spent a lot of time rolling around in it.
Yeah.
Because look what's been done to me. I mentioned before has been my favorite story of my brokenness. Look what's been done to me. And over time and with age, I'm starting to go, I don't want to hold that anymore, because it's exhausting and it's keeping me small. And so no, I'm not going to let someone else's story of how they inflicted harm onto me be my story. They can go deal with it somewhere else. I'm not going to carry it. I had a reader one time whenever I went into a session with her, she's a tarot reader. I was saying, I'm carrying around this pain from something that happened to me. And she goes, let me stop you right there. And I'm like, oh, okay. She said, you were fine before somebody came into your life and handed you a bag of shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah. And she goes, put it down.
It's not yours.
It's not yours.
Mm-mm.
Put it down, throw it away, give it back to them, burn it. Doesn't matter. It's you don't have to, what are you doing? You don't have to carry that. Just because someone hands you a bag of shit, it doesn't mean that you have to keep carrying it.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. No. And that's where you start to go, all right, I'm not going to carry this bag of shit anymore. I'm going to go, who am I to be the person in charge of carrying a bag of shit? I'm amazing.
Right.
Who would make me do that?
Right.
It's dumb.
It's dumb. But, and I think it's also like we talked about, and maybe it was the last one, about it's also boring.
Yeah.
The same storylines forever of like, oh, well, this person hurt me. You know, they cheated on me. They lied to me. And it happens. And I'm not discounting the grief that you went through or that anybody goes through. I mean, like, it hurts. And at the same time, is that, you know, I always come back to this place of like, if I'm on my deathbed, is that the stuff that I want to be holding on to when I'm exiting this body? Like, that's the storyline I want to leave with of like, oh, well, I got lied to and fuck them because they lied to me. No, I want to be the exact opposite of it. Like, actually, I transcended that shit, like dropped it, put it down, gave it back to them, mailed it to them, and exalted myself, liberated myself.
Right. Like it's our, and this is a jagged little pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. It is our choice to keep engaging in that.
Yes.
We choose to keep it alive. I don't like admitting that, but it's the truth.
And well, nobody does like admitting that. It doesn't feel good to be like, oh, I am also in control of and I'm an active participant in the things that have, quote unquote, happened to me and the things that I have been an allowance of.
But I think it, one of the ways that I have found it easier to let go of those things and come back to a place of self-love is those people were going to do that anyway.
Right.
Like if somebody's going to be an asshole, they're going to do it whether you put a GPS on their car or not.
Right.
That's how I carry forward with that. Mm-hmm. It's not personal. It's not personal. Don't let what somebody else is doing in their unconsciousness put out your light.
Yeah. No, you got to stay in your own lane. You're right. On your own horse. You stay on your own saddle. I think a lot of times that, you know, I struggle with this of like how we've made things so personal. Like how, you know, people, how there's tragedies and we have said, and there's traumas and we've said, oh, well, this was a direct attack against me. Or it's just a reflection on where that person is at. And unfortunately, you are a bystander in it. And you also get the power to say, like, this is how I'm going to allow it to affect me. And this is how I'm not going to allow it to affect me. And good riddance. You get to keep your energy. I will keep mine. This is like really where I think, you know, the energetic work of like maintaining boundaries and barriers of this is my work to do. And my work is, how do I react to these things happening to me? Do I give my power away? Do I let somebody else dictate the power that I have? No, I don't. So I need to reclaim it. And that is me holding a serious boundary and a barrier for myself. And that is, it's hard work. Like that is hard work when we have not, when we've been taught that we're supposed to be less than, when we're supposed to be small, that other people are supposed to be in control of our lives.
Yeah. And that somehow, I see often that people go, well, if this is in my sphere, it must have a lesson for me. Right. Well, maybe the lesson is to get it out of your sphere.
Right. Okay? Yeah.
You don't have to. Let's be clear about boundaries. Boundaries are about how you feel.
Right.
And nobody enjoys doing it. Scorpio energy is in charge of boundaries. Even Scorpio doesn't like it.
Right. Okay.
We wait forever to draw boundaries.
Right.
Because you don't want to be scary and you don't want to be mean and you don't want to kill something off that maybe has a chance to live, all that
right.
shit. We learn to not trust our own instincts, and all of us can do better at that. Mm-hmm. But a boundary is about how you feel. It's saying up to this line, I feel comfortable. I feel safe. I feel trusting. I feel okay. And past that line, I don't. And so if you want to be near me, you're going to have to honor my edges. And someone who understands giving and receiving and boundaries and relationships will go, got it. Thank you. I appreciate you showing me where that edge is. I will not fuck with it. Good. And then over time, as trust is earned, then you can negotiate. That I mean this jokingly, but I don't know, kind of seriously. Like maybe after 3 years, you can take the GPS off the car.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Have a new boundary.
Right. It's so true. And I think that also comes down to ourselves though too. Like that work, it's very easy to make our work about other people and what's happening to us from them. But trusting ourselves to be like, oh, up to this point, you go no further. Up to this point, I'm not going to beat myself up. Like I'm just not. I'm not going to participate in my own self-loathing. That's me having to learn how to draw a boundary for myself, to trust myself that I am fucking sacred because I said so, because I know it in my bone. That is my truth. I know it. So, you know, like it's, I think for me, it's been harder to, and this could be because of my placements with Scorpio, of like, it's been harder to draw those boundaries with myself of like, no, you're not going to drink an extra beer or a glass of wine tonight because you don't want to feel in your emotions. You're going to show up for them. Here's my line. And it's been easier for me to draw those lines for other people because I have that like real edginess of like, I don't got myself.
Yeah, that's boundaries start with boundaries with yourself. Yeah. And especially in Scorpio energy. Scorpio energy can fall into self-loathing very easily. And it's that thing about being your own best friend. Like yeah. It helps to say, would you say this to anybody else?
Yeah.
Would you say, how dare you and who do you think you are for being brave to anybody else? never. Mm-hmm. You would never say that to somebody else. You wouldn't say it to a child.
Right.
And so don't say it to yourself.
Right. Welcome to Be the Evidence.